When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey, everybody, we love that you're with us and that you're listening to this. And if you want more of Jen Stone, David DeLuise on Wizards of Waverly Pod, then you should follow us on
Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy the episode. That was so magical.
And intro music down, and welcome to another episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod.
And we are here with two very special people that we haven't seen in far too long. Ezra Weiss and Darren Butters are amazing for all
first. Come on, everybody, make some noise. Let's hear it. Come on, make some noise.
Candy.
So, please.
No, I was going to say that Ezra and Darren were working for us. They did many things on the show, but their primary thing was doing warm up, which is when the audience comes in. They're there. What is it? 50, 100 people?
It's almost 200 people.
And you have to bring them through, explain to them certain things, and entertain them for hours and hours and hours.
It's a hard job.
And I just want to take this moment and say thank you for being you and being a part of Wizards. And my first question, if I may, how did you meet each other, and then how did it become that you became part of Wizards?
Peter Marietta, who you've talked about many times.
I figured that's usually the common link that brings us all together.
Yeah. He had a theater with his wife called Bang Comedy Theater.
Which was on
Fairfax.
Fairfax, just up from the Grove.
And, well, for us it was, the Grove wasn't there when we started.
From Cantor's, sorry.
Just south of Itapeta and north of Cantor's.
The Bang Theater, right?
Bang Comedy Theater, and it was a really phenomenal place. I mean, it was a small storefront theater.
And they did really Second focused. City stuff there. Yeah. And both Peter and Aliza were bringing their knowledge from Second City to that. And we both were students there and fast friends.
Yeah, immediately friends. Yeah.
What was it that you love about each other?
We both are not from Los
Angeles.
You
met at the Bang Theater with Peter Marietta.
Yeah.
You didn't know each other before. That was the catalyst.
That was it, yeah. Awesome. So I was working with one of Darren's past relationships, and I saw flyers. Wasn't that political?
Well said.
That was quite a way to put that.
Great. And I saw flyers for the shows that she would be performing in, and I was like, you know, I wanted to branch out into new communities as well. I wanted to meet new people and new artists and perform. And I also wanted to put myself in that student place again where I can learn. Even though improv was something I felt I had done a lot of and I had taught and performed plenty, I'm like, if I don't allow myself to go through like a structure as a student again, I'm not going to meet new people. Because it's true. Opportunities just aren't going to happen. You have to find new environments.
Yeah. As if I couldn't love you more.
Oh, you're sweet. So I love you tons. So there I was. Darren was there to support his primary partner at the time.
Right.
And he thought I was funny because he got to see me on stage. And I liked that he thought I was funny.
Yeah.
And he was really funny. But the real thing that really unified us, the thing that unified us was we're both not from Los Angeles. I'm from New Jersey. Darren's from Nebraska.
Yeah, not a lot of showbiz in Nebraska.
And we're like,
but a lot of improv, weirdly.
Well, yeah, yeah. We have this. We were both probably. I don't know your high school life, but I was definitely involved in theater and in comedy and in making skits and just being silly, like. I was not a genius student, but I was a well-liked.
Ezra, you have a wonderful energy, and you're outgoing, and you're funny, and you have high energy, which is wonderful. Were you like that as a kid?
Yeah, I was very hyper. In class, I would get kicked out into the hallway a lot because I would be a distraction. I'm also the youngest in my family. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of the entire generation, so whatever it was that I would do, people found that to be entertaining, as you would find a small child to make up magic tricks or tell silly jokes. So, yeah, I was very hyperactive. I'm sure that I would be diagnosed with ADHD, hyperactivity, all of that stuff.
And so we meet at the Bank Theater.
Right.
Peter Marriott is there, and he's like, did you guys work on Greetings from Tucson?
Yeah, that's where we started.
Okay. Yep. So Peter was like, you guys come in here and warm up this audience and do your thing. And do Greetings from Tucson, for people who don't know, that was a show that Peter Marriott created, which with a studio audience that you guys came in.
Yeah.
Where was that shot?
Which studio was it shot in?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I do remember that, I mean, Bang was and still is a really tight family of friends that have known each other through learning and supporting and performing together.
Yeah.
So it was a tremendous deal when Peter was like, I got my own show. It's on the WB. Yeah. We were like, wow, this is incredible. We can't believe it. We're so proud of you.
We went to his show to support him.
Yeah.
And we watched their warm-up guy. It was something new to us.
Yeah.
So we were watching this person who was a stand-up comedian run out of material after an hour and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
And keep getting interrupted by the bell or, his timing.
So wait, he was just doing his stand-up?
It was pretty much stand-up.
And the bell means, the bell for the audience who doesn't know, when you're shooting, in between scenes, there's time where people are doing stuff. And then when the bell rings, it means we're about to film. So whatever's happening in the audience has to stop so that they can...
But that was something that I loved about you guys, is because you didn't make it about yourself, which I feel like a lot of times comedians can be very like self-serving. No, truly.
It was intentional. Like we had meetings with each other. Yeah. We would like rehearse and talk about things. Yeah. Everything is improv based with audience warm up for us.
Yes.
So, and by the way, David, what you just did explaining the bell is exactly what Darren and I would do to an audience that would come to watch your show.
Right. Why don't we, for someone from Nebraska who's never been to a like live studio audience taping, break it down. Like what is it that you guys do? What is it like the kind of games you would play?
It's incredibly intimidating from our point of view. And for me, I don't know how Darren felt internally, but for me, it would be it would rack my nerves every single time. I would be so happy when I saw him.
Yeah.
Which when Peter asked us to do the show, I was like, Darren, I want you to do this. Because he had asked me, he's like, just go ahead and host, because he sees me host shows at Bang. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not a stand-up comedian. Yeah. I don't do stand-up work. And as I said, I'll do it because I'm a yes and guy, which are the rules of improv.
Yeah.
But I did not want to do it alone because it's always about support your partner as well.
Which is like, wonderful for life.
For life. Exactly. Yeah. And Darren is someone who I just trust. He's so smart. He's so grounded.
Yeah.
He's an incredible listener. It's true. So that I'm all over the place. I do way too much. I step and steamroll over everything because I'm like, it's me.
But
and
I feel like you guys grounded. Bounce each other out really well.
We did, yeah.
And I grew up doing magic and ventriloquism. I was that kid in class. You know, birthday parties, Boy Scout meetings and church groups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I grew up in front of an audience and learned how to command an audience at a young age. And then moved to LA to do animation. And then when you asked, it scared the hell out of me because it's babysitting 200 people for
strangers
for 4 hours.
Yeah. Strangers that don't like each other, don't know each other, and don't want to laugh yet. And they don't. And when we started, they didn't know Wizards.
We shot the entire first season in the hole, meaning no one had seen the show or knew what it was. So you'd have to, give them all the information so that they were aware of the setup.
And they were on board.
Yeah. We basically said to that first season audience, because second season, it was like, forget about it. I mean, it was full blazes. Everybody was there to see you guys.
We didn't have to explain anything.
It's a huge hit. We almost had to get out of the way a lot of the time or just kind of control the environment.
Mm.
But that first season, we were like, all right, we need to just entertain these people. They need to be alive. They need to be laughing.
Yeah.
They need to be engaged and watching. And we made the show more about the personalities and the actors there engaging with them. Because if we were sitting in the audience from Nebraska and New Jersey, we would want the special TV show to recognize us and feel like we're a part of the night with them.
Of course, yeah.
And that's what we did a lot of for that first season in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys, like I said, you really nailed it because that was something I had been to like live studio audience tapings just as an audience member before. And you guys really included the audience and made them feel like part of the show, which I think was so special. What were some of like the favorite games or encounters that you guys remember? I know it was like a million years ago, but
No, we remember them very, I mean, I remember them more. We would do, well, it eventually evolved to making the night about our audience. This is their special night.
Yeah.
You get to see this incredibly popular show with some of your favorite Disney stars or David DeLuise as well, because let's face it, David's coming off of 21 Jump Street. Yeah. People know David DeLuise, so they were super excited to see him there as well. But you guys had a popularity all on your own. The parents were like, oh, David DeLuise, look at that, right? And the kids were just gaga for all of you guys in the cast.
Yeah.
So we would say,
I was going to say, in season one, after the show, after the curtain call, I remember like Selena coming up over the railing, like, anybody want an autograph? Because everyone was just like,
did you guys have fun tonight? Was it a great night?
Yeah, I remember.
Thanks for coming.
It felt like very like door-to-door salesman. Like, did you like what we did?
Yeah, I mean, it was new and you didn't know, right? So you're like, you want some feedback
that
might tell you like, do we have something on our hands?
Yeah.
And I've said this before, but the way that Selena dealt with the fans was very unique. She was very... thankful. Rather, it wasn't, hey, hi, I'm here. It was like, thank you guys so much.
She's still that way.
Yeah, which
she's
is amazing.
She's still so warm and like,
and something that I don't think everybody knows and something I didn't think was going to continue was the entire audience would come down to the floor, which is the set, which is in between the audience and the set.
Yeah, the audience was up in bleachers. So to come down onto the floor, they just had to go down
and
like
we
half
would
the staircase.
Take pictures with everyone, sign autographs. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, oh, in next season, this is never going to happen. Every episode we shot, we signed autographs and took pictures with all the fans.
Since Wizards and, you know, between Wizards and the world shutting down with the pandemic, all of the shows that were Disney Channel shows or It's a Laugh shows, they saw what was happening and they saw how incredibly powerful that engagement was with the audience and the cast that they, for other shows like Jesse or for Austin and Ally, they would have like a full setup. They had a whole routine.
Yeah.
People would line up. They would bring out the director chairs. Yeah. I mean, it was a whole
system.
With
Wizards, it was a little chaotic.
It was chaotic, but because it was learning.
Yeah, we were. We'd never really done it before. We just knew that we wanted to have that interaction with them after the fact, especially after the first season, where, like you were saying, we didn't know a gauge of if they enjoyed it, if they didn't.
But you asked about some of the games.
Right. Yeah.
So some of the engagement was, all right, everybody in the audience, tonight's your night. We've gotten a great DJ up in the booth. So let's go ahead and what are the songs you all want to hear?
Yes.
Right. So we packed it up. And most of those songs were also coming from the cast because we wanted you to hear the music that also got you excited. So that was one of the ways to break the ice.
And
for sure.
Tonight, we're going to have a talent show.
Every time.
So who in the audience has something special that they want to show us?
Yeah.
And then maybe the cast will see it.
Yeah, we'd be like, and then who knows?
And then you could be on the show here. Get your own show.
Yeah. And of course, the parents like, get down there and see it. Right?
Yeah.
So we would do that. But again, I mean, that goes back to the question that you had asked us earlier, which was like, was I like that as a kid? And putting shows up in front of your friends and family, that's what we do. So Darren and I would be nothing but supportive to those young kids that would just do a split or would do a karate chop that was silly. Yeah. And we'd be like, that's amazing. Yeah. Because that's how we were raised to think that the stupidest things that we're doing were incredible, which totally boosted our confidence in life.
Probably too much.
For sure.
But it allowed you to get to a place where you can fail and then try again and finesse your talents.
And one thing we did not ever do, which we saw a lot of when we would see audience warm up, is we wouldn't put the audience down or make fun of anybody.
What a weird
and that's
thing.
A lot of stuff with stand-up comedy when you're doing crowd work.
Trying to roast them.
You're making fun of someone or you know that kind of thing.
Yeah. You guys are the hired clown and just keep people having a good time till
the cake is cut and then go home. On tape nights, like even nights where we were tired or like if Selena and I had been banking hours during the day or whatever and we were just kind of like you guys lifted the energy of the entire room. Right.
Banking hours is for school since they're minors. Yes. I'm just doing a David Deluise.
Yes,
everybody.
I love it.
I don't want him to be the only one to. He carries a lot of that for the show and he gets a lot of crap for
it. He does. So, but mostly from me because I'm an asshole.
Yeah, like for instance, we would have to say, hey, you're going to hear a bell. It sounds like a school bell. No alarms there. It just means we have to stop talking because the show's about this right now.
Right, and there's certain, like, you can laugh. Like, we would have microphones above the audience and, you know, they would record their laughter.
Oh, Darren and I had a bit on that.
What?
We'd be like, okay, so look above you. You see those microphones? Those microphones are on. So we want to hear you laugh. So let me hear on the count of three, let me hear your best laugh. So we do 1, 2, 3 and we're like, ha, 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 ha. Like, that's great. Yeah. Now, we want your real laugh, genuine laughter, because the show's hilarious and everybody's so good and funny on it. But we don't want to hear you, like, doing any shout outs to your friends back home, like,
Long Beach.
Yeah, none of that. We don't want any of that. Like, can't do that. We would do stuff like that.
And the microphones are pointed at your mouths to pick up your laughter. But if you're sitting above that, they're pointed right at your bottom. So
you might want to hold in that Chipotle. Yeah. Like stuff like that. Like that's all stuff we improvise that we're like, that worked. So we'll just do it again if we remember.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you threw out candy or something, don't open the wrappers while you're doing.
That is something that I didn't expect in this career. Was the crowd psychology part of it. Mm-hmm. The
that like sheep thing?
Which Darren loves, by the way.
He loves.
I do. I'm so excited
about this.
Right?
I went to jury duty one time and they said, know where the exits are because last week we had a fire alarm and nobody knew how to get out of this building. And then I went to jury duty the very next year and they said the same thing. And I thought, that is brilliant because you put your yourself in the mind of the idiot who did it wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so we would have a thing.
Wait, so we're in the audience up in the bleachers, okay? Which you're very familiar with, but for the audience listening or watching, right? So it's raised platform, and it was about like 6 or 7 feet tall, so that when the actors would come and say goodnight at the end of the night, there you would just see like just their faces by the audience's feet, right? And there was always like a protection bar.
Though.
Yeah, you would climb up on them, but there was a bar there, right?
Railing.
So it's like scaffolding in a way. So so now go ahead. So picture that, right? These bars, the scaffolding, and this massive frenzy
fans
of an audience that want to come.
We've stirred into a fervor.
Yeah. And certainly during curtain call, come on, let's hear it for them.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all that. When they come out for curtain call, we need you to remain in front of your seats, okay? Do not come down here. Do not run down here. And
do you remember what happened last week, Darren?
Last week, a little girl got pushed into the railing.
It was so sad.
Knocked out all of her front teeth.
I was real. I mean, she's okay. We took care of her, but we don't want
this.
Never happened. Never. Nobody ever got hurt.
Really?
Nobody ever got hurt.
A couple.
We didn't ever want that to happen.
How is she?
We're like, little Susie's fine.
Oh, but hold on. One time. This is just a general story. It's not Wizard specific. And it could have happened at the Wizards audience. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But fans and parents were just absolutely crazy for some of these Disney shows, yours in particular. And one guy feigned that his kid was a Make-A-Wish kid. Do you remember that one?
No, he lied.
Yes, to get down on the floor, to have like a personal interaction.
Yeah, and all the production people were like, no, we know the Make-A-Wish people.
This is not.
That's not it. Get them out.
So
because they tell us
egregious.
And we're like, you know, we get information as your warm-up people from you. You'd say, hey, my mom's going to be here. She's going to sit here.
Yeah.
Hey, my parents are going to be here, says Jennifer. Or, you know, oh, the agents are blocked off. We have executives coming from Disney.
Yeah.
My mom came into the, I know my mom was there, but did she sit in the audience?
She was one of our favorite people to
and
see.
And your parents also.
Oh, yeah.
My parents were there.
And I mean, Selena's mom was there.
Yeah.
Everybody's family.
I just have to say this because I'm going to regret it if I don't. But when you said about the little girl smash her teeth, my youngest Dylan was lactose intolerant, couldn't have cheese. Mm-hmm. So I'd say no cheese, and there'd always be cheese.
Yeah.
So then I changed it to no cheese. My daughter's deathly allergic to cheese. No more cheese.
That's exactly. Right.
Not true.
Heighten the stakes.
Yeah, not true, but they remember that.
Do you remember Sweet Escape by like Gwen Stefani?
Oh God,
stop it.
Because we said it yesterday. We heard it while we were at a place that was called, and we did this thematically for David Deluise, because we went to a place called the Bigfoot Lodge.
Okay.
Because we want to keep the Bigfoot Cafe alive.
Okay. Yes.
In the zeitgeist.
Yes. Yes.
So we went to the Bigfoot Lodge and they were playing a game of bingo from songs from the 2000s. Oh. Great Escape came on, and David Henry, every time, he would just call out to the audience.
Every time.
And the audience was like, we're like, that's really cute. Yeah. But it was a little annoying.
It happened every single time. But I cannot hear that song now without hearing that.
We heard it all the time.
Yeah. So you guys
ruined it. No.
I have so many things in here.
What do you have? Show and tell.
Listen. From what I understand, listening to your podcast, we did our research. And that's how we did all of your shows. I would read the script. I would look over and research who your guest stars were.
Amazing.
We would see we would always check to see which scenes were going to be filmed live.
Yeah. Right.
And then which ones were just getting played back.
Because on Friday, tape night, you do all the live stuff. But on Thursday, you would shoot things that had magic or stuff that you had to do. And then it would be played in order to the audience so that they knew what was going on.
Yeah, we would have to explain, when he does this, they're going to add some Disney magic and it'll turn into what? But when you see it, you have to be like, whoa!
Which is a little bit of the power and the magic and the responsibility of our job. We had to make seeing subpar production where green screens and just people looking weird, nothing.
Right. Unfinished production.
Unfinished production. Well, there was some of it. We talked about the chandelier.
Yeah, I heard it. So we had to build up some hype about that so that the audience would give the reaction that they wanted to capture for the audio. So, all right. So I know that other guests have, and I know you have, I had one of these wands as well.
Wand, yes.
But I have a real wand from the show.
Oh my God.
That one. This is a real one from the
show.
How
did you get that?
It was given to me by Ken, who was your prop master, and by Jill, who was his, the two of them were paired. I don't know what her official title was, but she was also prop.
What episode?
Prop
what is this from?
I think it was one of their many wands that they had. I don't think it was used in an episode.
And all of the sequins are still on it?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I love
even
it.
Some of my outfits are falling off.
David.
Thank you for bringing it.
So I brought that.
It's in his
amazing.
Pants.
It's bedazzled.
Yes. Darren and I would, to engage the audience and to keep them invested. And really one of the main jobs responsibilities that Peter Marietta told us when he wanted us to be audience warm-up for Greetings from Tucson was, please keep the audience there.
Yeah.
He says, our warm-up guy,
and
they don't
did.
Know our show. It's not on the air yet.
Yeah.
And this wasn't for Wizards. They're like, they don't know our show yet.
They're
and the audience.
For 4 hours.
Yeah. Sometimes an audience, you didn't have this because
it was a kid's show.
It was a kid's show.
Yeah.
But
friends.
An adult.
On Friends, they could shoot till 2 in the morning or something.
And they would hire an audience to come in from a halfway house, a rehabilitation place.
Yeah.
They would have a high school group come in. They would pay. And there'd be a fundraiser for those organizations. But there are professional people who just sit there and laugh.
I did a show. I directed something, and there were 5 people because this is why they do this. They are hired laughers. So even if there's no audience, we need that space. So I'm an actor, and I'm making a joke, and then I'm going to go right into the next thing. But what you need is to leave that space.
Yeah.
So these laugher people would come in and.
And they know where to fit. It's music. So they know where those bits of rests are.
And then there's also canned laughter where sometimes they spice up an audience, or they'll shoot it without an audience and just add laughter.
Yeah. And we would point that out during our intro stuff. We're like, look, the whole microphone gag that we talked about, but we said, you will hear yourself if you are laughing.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
Darren would hear us laughing in all of your episodes.
My wife had never been to see, she went to, our friend Marco came from Germany and they went to go see the Conners.
Yeah. Mm.
And my wife had never seen, I mean, I've done so many sitcoms. She's never seen a sitcom, you know? And so Marco really wanted to hear himself so he would laugh. Like a certain way. And you can hear him. We watched the episode. You can hear him
because people do think that it's all just canned laugh, especially for the Disney shows. Like, oh, it's all just canned laugh. It's all just canned laugh. And a lot of it after the pandemic, because there have been there haven't been audiences since. A lot of them are probably recycled quality laughter stolen from Wizards audiences that we made them laugh.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Or it's just AI laughter.
Right.
Oh God, that's so.
So
creepy.
To keep the audience there till the end, we would save the last half hour once you started working on the last scene of the night.
Yeah. Everything changed when we discovered raffle tickets.
Because every warm up person has some kind of shtick to keep them going.
They want to stay to see if they won the shirt.
They won the thing.
And people will do anything for a ticket. The ticket isn't even the prize.
More psychology.
The ticket is a chance at winning a prize.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah. And they could win as many tickets as they wanted to. It's and, like you know, we would get the parents to, we're like, do you want to win a ticket for your kid? Come on down here, parent. Because people love to see the parents get involved too.
Right. You know what? We'll give you two tickets if you come down. Come on, give them some love. Yeah.
So then at the end of the night, we would raffle off prizes. And I brought some of the prizes that I never raffled off.
I can't wait to see what it is.
I mean, you know them.
It's
a Wizards DVD.
Oh my God. Let me see that.
And then the movie that was shot in Puerto Rico, which Darren and I couldn't warm up because there was no audience for that.
Oh, yeah, because and I mean, you could have just warmed up Puerto Rico.
Right. And I never wanted to part with those. And I didn't see the movie because we didn't warm it up. So we couldn't hear ourselves laugh.
Why do you look like you don't have any teeth in this? Look at this.
I love it. I'm on the poster, but I'm like,
and you have no teeth.
A half an inch.
Speaking of poster. Production would give us posters to give away as prizes as well at the end of the night. You would sign stuff like that. So they didn't put you on this poster, but they have these two schmucky extras. I don't know what they're doing.
Why couldn't I be the schmucky person in the back?
Look, I brought three so that you have one and Jennifer has one and Darren and I have one, but we want you both to sign it just like it's the end of the show. We'll do that later.
Everything is not as it seems.
Oh my God,
that's right. It says it on there.
Yep.
That's the theme song.
Yeah. You guys were not just our warm-up guys. You guys were in several episodes. Hold on. I have it written down. Ezra, you were on the show four times in Supernatural, The Good, The Bad, and The Alex, and you both appeared together in Alex Russo Matchmaker and Wizards versus Angels. So
I happen to have the script with me.
Oh my God, this is the Mary Poppins bag of wizards.
Well, you don't understand. Look,
can we have a raffle for us on Wizards Pod?
Let's get real for a second.
Let's put them in the
real talk, Wizards, incredibly special. Phase of my life, incredibly special. I used to keep, I know it is, and that's what this podcast is all about. Oops. Yeah. And I love that. And I love that you're doing it.
Out a yellow envelope.
I have a yellow envelope. Yeah. I have so many more props in here from your episodes.
Oh my God!
That might be just
this
a little
face.
Bit.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you remember these. Here, you look
at
that.
I want to take a picture of these right now. So it's, we'll take a picture and post it for those who are
we'll
listening.
We'll put it on our Patreon.
We would give out these the production still photos.
Are those actually signed?
These are not. They were actually signed and then photocopied. Who's this little cutie?
Oh, God.
Jennifer Stone.
But this is when this one was plastered all over Larry Tate's office, right?
Yes, Larry Tate, which again is the kind of humor that Peter Marietta would bring with his writing room because it speaks to the parents that are watching the show, that which is what everyone would say about Wizards.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a show I can watch with my kid because I find it funny too.
Yeah. Right. That was something I was really proud of, is like the Easter eggs that like the parents were included. I felt like a lot of shows, they were like, oh God, I got to put this on. But I was proud of the fact that Wizards was like a family show you could sit and watch together.
It was
everything that Ezra has taken out,
we'll take pictures of it.
We got just a crew sheet of how things work. Those are some names and people you may want to invite for the show.
Oh,
maybe their emails are the same.
Oh,
and then they would give out these script episode covers.
These were the top prize.
Yes.
So these are one of each of them.
Because
I love the show.
Because he's a hoarder. That's why.
No, I don't love the show. Of course I love the show, but that's not why I kept it.
Yeah.
I keep all of this because I loved what it was all about.
Yeah.
The environment
that we were a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep, like, why am I keeping all these old photos? This was another prize.
That the spell book.
It's just a notebook.
Yeah.
It is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so I'm almost done with my prize bag.
No, here. I like the show and tell. This. Everybody that's listening on Spotify or Apple is going to be so sad. They can't
They'll
it.
Have to just
subscribe to Patreon. YouTube and watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have Captain Bob Sherwood, which we got as a crew present of a sweatshirt with Captain Bob.
We talked about that. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Alex Russo Matchmaker.
That's nice. Our episode. You guys were in that. So
that's our episode.
What was the favorite episode that you guys did?
Maybe.
Who directed it?
David
DeLuise!
And in our behind the scenes photo, you're giving us direction as we're coming from the bleachers.
So Alex Russo Matchmaker.
Maker.
Alex Russo Matchmaker.
There it is.
Directed by David DeLuise.
Yay, the great David DeLuise. Can you believe it? David Russo himself is directing tonight's episode. Russo. Everybody give it up for David DeLuise!
I could get up there too.
So
and you did.
All
you came up
later.
In the. Oh, actually, no. We had Guy come up in the audience. Mm-hmm. Guy, who's your first AD, who you explained many times. And he was like, Ezra and Darren, if it's not too much trouble, we'd like you to come down on set and be in the scene. And we were like, what? Really? Audience, do you think we should?
This is a Hollywood moment.
We were like, amazing.
We're going. And then we were like, hey, everybody, we're
teachers,
in the set.
Yeah.
We had
teachers,
our microphones with us while, and we put them down, and then we would shoot the scene. Which was incredible because you were playing matchmaker.
Of course.
And then as soon as it would, like, the bell would ring, we were like, okay, guys, how did we do? I can't believe it. This is so exciting
for us.
That
was so crazy. Yeah,
was
so I work, I animate at Disney. I've been there for the renaissance of the CG.
Yes.
27 years.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
Thank you.
And I went from working, animating at Disney to warming up for Disney to acting on a Disney show all in one day. And it was a dream come
true. That day was the first day that you started doing? No.
No.
You were doing
it. Yeah, right. I came from work.
Got it.
To do
what
warm up.
A crazy
and
day.
Then, and then walked onto the set.
Yeah. Do you feel like being a performer helps you as an animator? Or do you feel like they don't really like commingle?
Oh yeah, no, totally. I teach improv at Disney Studios, the animation studios. And that keeps my fire going.
Yeah.
Give us just a snippet. So you're working animating, let's say Frozen. What is that? What's a day of that? Like, is there a storyboard that comes down and then you're working on that? Are you doing story? Are you talking? Give us a little information.
Yeah, we have story artists who draw a comic book of the scene or the sequence. And then that comes to us with a pre-recorded dialogue. They record the dialogue first, by the way. That's often a misconception that people come in and do. I think,
and sometimes they record the dialogue like a year prior. Right?
Yeah. It's kind of like a video game. You have an action figure of Olaf in the computer, and then you pose him out, save that pose, go a few more frames, make a new pose, and the computer kind of tries to in between everything, and then you finesse it.
Like
and,
AI?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. He's like, don't you say that word. No.
Are you concerned?
That's what we fought for.
Are you concerned about AI in this process and it infiltrating the?
Oh yeah. As much as actors are, you know,
or the world is for that
exactly.
matter.
As much as like freaking T2 and Skynet.
Yeah.
You've been nominated and won awards for this, correct?
Yes, the movies that I've worked on have won Oscars, and
it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really kind of neat.
Well, and it's not just you. You as well are like incredibly, you know, skilled and voiceover artist. I mean, you've done like tons of anime. You've done Power Rangers, which for me, that was my first word. My brother is a big Power Rangers fan. So when I saw that, I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, Power Rangers was my first voiceover job.
Was it really?
Yes, which was a lot of improvisation.
I bet.
Yeah. There was
Saban, right?
Saban, correct. Yeah. So there was an outdoor theater show that I was doing. Big, lot of characters that I was playing multiple characters within that show. One of the producers from Power Rangers was there with his family watching it. I also met my wife, Sabrina. She was in the audience because her stepmom of blessed memory directed that show.
Well, it was a big day.
It was the biggest day of my
kidding.
Life. It was the most significant, life-changing.
Yeah.
It all just kind of like combines for me in just being a single day, right? But I'm sure it was maybe one weekend here, one weekend
but
there.
Still,
but it
was still, it all kind of it conflates like into one experience
for me.
Yeah.
Yes. So I started doing voiceover, which led me to doing more and more different jobs with voiceover because people said, oh, here's a new guy. He's good with his voice. He's good with improvisation. Because with Power Rangers, you would see the stock footage from Japan and they would be fighting one another.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, just, you know, chase the action, make some noise. It'd be like,
which, what a great,
Power Ranger!
Well, what a great outlet for all that energy like you talked about having as a kid and still have to this day. I mean, you just go in there and like just be kind of schizophrenic in a booth by yourself.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And I was fast and they thought I was funny, which then, as we all know, if you're somewhat of a good person, skilled, and you also are funny a little bit, then people want to have you around or they'll think kindly of you.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept bringing me back. And then that led me to directing animation and directing different dubs of shows.
What is the name of the show with the girl in the
Miraculous
red
Ladybug. Miraculous Ladybug. Which is on the Disney Channel and it's on Disney Plus. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
So I have some friends at the Bigfoot Cafe, Amy's daughters, like to do anime, and they saw you in San Diego at the Comic-Con,
right?
And just they were flipping out that I was going to be interviewing you today.
Well, that's great. I'll send them something.
There's
miraculous
something
later.
About there's some. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's something about the anime fans, the determination, the effort that they put into their outfits and their energies. Into
they're dedicated.
It's phenomenal how into it they are.
I love what I love. It's something that I'm really proud to be a part of. And it's something that I love to see because these are, let's just call them kids, right?
Yeah.
But they're all ages. But they are passionate and they're creative and they want to share something that they have a hyper fixation about.
Yeah.
And they want to be supported and in a safe space. And they are just an amazing community of
people.
And
it's like for me, I was on Stargate and there's a lot of Stargate conventions.
Yeah.
And these people come and it's not just about the show. It's about their socialization.
Oh, yeah.
Community. Exactly.
Which is a beautiful thing, especially like coming as like, I think we all probably were somewhat kids that like to pretend and like to be, we're not the status quo, stay in line kind of kid. And so I think we can all relate to that need of having a bigger community that's just as wacky and weird and out
and
there.
And
have something to look forward to and then to celebrate with people in a very big way.
So. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I watched Ezra host a pageant at one of the conventions recently.
Yeah.
And Ezra is such a great host and MC for
I'm
this.
Not surprised.
He knows all the characters and all of their lives and all of their relationships and was just the crowd appreciated that he knew everything about it. And he's a fan favorite.
I'm not so you're still warming them up all these years later. I love that.
I just want to say when you were talking or what's the memorable story. If someone says to you, what was it like working on Wizards? Like, what was a great day? Who was fun to meet? Or what happened, a bad thing? Or tell me one of those stories that I went.
I'm such a sucker for acceptance.
Yeah.
I love to be accepted. I just do, right? I work really hard. Thank you very much, David. I accept you too.
I'm on the fence.
I get it. I'll keep working. And I like to build relationships. I like to maintain relationships. And it always felt like with Wizards, especially the longer we were there, there were just more, because everyone is just doing their job at first. Like it's in a way, it's a union factory job for everybody. The writers have got to write and they got to churn out content. The camera operators are doing their thing and they all have like their own little communities.
Yeah.
And Darren and I kind of like to see what someone's doing. We express our interest or fascination with the thing that they're doing. And then they don't think of us as those warm-up guys.
Yeah.
They start to see us as people. They know that we're there for them. We were there for Mike, who is in charge of all of the audio, to all of the camera crew, to, you know, for crying out loud, you know, we would have so much fun at wardrobe and hair and makeup. We would make videos. So it felt for me, my most memorable experiences are the times when I felt like I could be myself, be creative, and do things in your environment, right? In your workplace. because I kind of go into it thinking like, I really shouldn't be here. I know it's a privilege for me to be here. Don't mess it up. But then, you know, start to become a little bit more acclimated. Yeah. And Darren and I would be like, at the at rap parties, we're like, we made the montage at the end. We made the montage, you know? And we would like, so we'd always be sitting in the back because we always felt like, well, that's our place. Like, it's always to shine a light on the cast. Yeah. And then secondary, the crew. But we know the crew is first and foremost. And the cast gets to celebrate through all of their support. It's always the cast, and then it's the crew, and then we're like back here, like we're here too, yeah.
It's so interesting to hear like you guys say that, because to me, you guys were just a part of the family. Like I never thought of you guys as like back in like, oh yeah, the warm up guys. We don't talk to them. Like I never made that disconnect.
I think we felt that because you guys were working on a show all week, and then we came in to watch it, be presented. And I think that's kind of how we felt on the outside.
Yeah, that was not how I felt at all. I was always just excited to be like, oh, Darren and Ezra are here. It's time to do the show. Yeah. Like, it was always associated with that fun energy.
Up to the audience.
Another game that we played was that we didn't expect to be such a hit, but it carried us through hours and hours of keeping the audience interested.
Oh, my God, yes.
It was called Guess What's in the Bag.
Come on. Guess what's in the bag, and you'll get a ticket. Even if you get it wrong, you get a ticket. And we got prize at the end of the night. So
was there anything in the bag?
There was cereal. There were cookies. There was coffee cups.
No, you couldn't feel it.
Oh, okay.
But that kept the audience entertained for at least 2 hours.
Remember, like, the age range of your audience.
Right.
They are just, I just want to play. How can I participate? Yeah. And we came up with that game. Also to break the ice so we can be in the crowd with one another, right? Yeah. So that it's not just we're standing here in the front of the audience and you're there.
If you don't want to get up and do a song or
a talent blah, or blah, blah, karate
you
chop.
Could just guess donuts.
And that way you can win a ticket. Yeah. We wanted to make it like fair for everybody. And we were trying to include all of those introverts, shy, maybe they're even from a foreign language and they're, you know, just not really confident about speaking English. Yeah, yeah. So we wanted everybody to be involved. And then towards the end of the night, while you were filming, we'd be like, here, take a ticket. Because we would see the kids that would be even too shy to just make a guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and we were both young dads during Wizards as well. Yeah. And it was so much fun for Sabrina, my wife, to come with Sarah and Jacob.
They were five and seven.
And
they were a little young though for that show.
And they loved the candy and they loved the show in the audience because, you know, they loved getting a ticket. They just wanted to keep getting more tickets. I mean, we had really young kids in your audience.
So now they're 20,
21 and 19.
Jeez Louise. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And how old are yours now?
I have a daughter who is 14.
14. Yeah. Which, I mean, if you don't mind me, she's really come into her own as a performer. You must be so proud. I mean, Julia Butters is your daughter, and she's worked with Tarantino and Spielberg at this point. And
we are
very
fortunate and very excited about her.
How is she
trajectory.
Handling all that? I mean, that's...
Oh, she's great. I mean, I feel like people are telling me how well-adjusted she is and how we have seen, because we do audience warm-up for children's shows... We have seen some train wrecks.
And
we've
Darren learned a
bad
lot
parenting
from watching
decisions and some overexposure for kids. And my daughter is she loves the stage right now and musicals and she's just being a kid right now.
And it's all the parents, right? And it's all how much stock you put into something, right? So if you're not impressed, she's not going to be impressed.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite musical right now?
Oh, well, I mean, we watch musicals all the time.
Yeah.
Singing in the Rain, I mean, is probably her favorite.
What's your favorite musical right now?
That's very, very challenging. I've really been loving the Heathers musical right now. Mm. Okay. I know that's like a few years back a little bit, but I'm just like now discovering it. And I just love that movie and think they did a really great job with the musical. That and... I love Hadestown.
Me too.
As well,
that's
Hadestown
my answer
is,
for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
As the newer musicals, Hadestown like hits really hard for me.
Oh my Lord! And like the way they bring in sort of that New Orleans jazz and like it's just so creative and Yeah, I'm so fascinated by that whole world. So I love that she's getting into theater.
And she's learning that it's an instant feedback.
Yeah.
Instead of on film where you're like, was that any good? Did anybody enjoy that?
Yeah.
Much like the audience.
I was about to say, I was like, you guys know all about that. So we all teach acting. You guys teach improv. What is something that you would say, and you know, and you've got kids that are coming up in the industry and that kind of thing. What is the thing that you guys would recommend or wish somebody had told you guys? Because you guys have kind of tried a little bit of everything.
Ooh, that's
in the
a good
industry.
Question. Oh.
Mm-hmm. So what is like some wisdom that you wish someone had imparted on you?
I tell you, I'm fortunate. I have received a lot of like wisdom, advice, encouragement. Mm-hmm. Our son recently auditioned for a musical in college.
Yeah.
And
which
that
musical?
It was Putnam County Spelling
Bee.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was his first time auditioning. And he had a really positive experience with the auditioning process, but he's not in the theater school. He's not in that department. Yeah. It was a brand new exposure of a new talent.
Still
to the
good
theater
for him for
amazing.
Stepping out and just,
correct.
You know.
Correct. And Sabrina and I, we were talking with our son Jacob about it. And we said, look, whatever happens, because he was in that flux between the, you know, auditioning and callbacks and when are they going to put up the cast list?
Yeah. That.
And I really want it, but I don't know. My gut tells me maybe it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But
I want to
really
set myself up for disappointment.
Right.
Right.
And we were both saying, look, what you've done was incredible. If you feel disappointed, be disappointed about it if it doesn't happen.
Right.
I said, but also if it doesn't happen, don't just turn your back on it.
No.
Find a way to get involved.
Yeah, most people don't get it right off the bat.
Correct, right.
You know?
But still show that department that you're still interested and you want to be involved. Let them see your face. Let them get to know you. Because if Darren and I didn't do that for warm-up, we would never have been in David Deluise's episode of Alex Russo Matchmaker because they were like,
so
wait
funny.
A minute, you guys, we see you. We
love
these
your
are
energy.
Great parts for you. Let's. So you just don't, there's always more opportunities.
Yes, and,
yes, and experiences, right? So I think that is a lesson that I impart on a lot of people. Now, I feel like when opportunity comes, especially like for audience warm up, I was scared shitless for it. I was like, this is. I don't know what this is. This is also a big responsibility. Yeah. This is Hollywood. This is television. But I wanted to say yes to it, just like with voiceover work for Power Rangers. I'd never done a professional job, but I said yes to it. Now, there are parts in your life where you really should say no. And you figure that out later in life, right?
Live and learn.
But
yes,
as you're experiencing, keep saying yes and figure out if this is an experience that will propel you forward, or if it's a learning experience and you realize
basing
not
that
to do
no that. On certain things, you know what I mean? Like, but being scared to do something, that's a good thing.
Yes.
I was terrified to open up a cafe, but I was like, okay. And I did it and it happened.
It's happened.
It's where you grow.
And you learn. Yeah.
Exactly. What about you, Darren?
The advice that I would give to somebody who is getting their kid into acting is that the audition is the end of it.
Hmm.
That you tell your kid, you don't tell your kid there's something on the other side of the audition.
That's smart, yeah.
You say, we're going in there, you're gonna say those lines that you memorized, and then we're gonna go for ice cream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if they call you back, you say, hey, those people wanna see you again.
Yeah.
You made friends, that's awesome. So that would be my
advice. Michael Keaton did it, and Bryan Cranston, they both were like,
oh yeah.
As soon as I realized that my job was the audition, that was it, that was the job. And I got to act today.
Yeah.
And I got to do that.
Yeah.
And then you go on to something else. I mean, sometimes it's hard to be like, please, God, put me in that movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
I mean, I suffer
that,
from acceptance. That's a huge part of it, which is why auditioning is a really painful experience.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. I love that you're talking about teaching that right off the bat, because I feel like that's something actors have to learn the hard way of, like, okay, this result living where I'm going after a result rather than the journey and the path of getting there is so painful and makes it so much harder. Where, you know, if you have the luxury of like not having to pay your bills with just acting or creating, you know, you get to just enjoy the art of it and the act of it rather than the result.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So I love that you're like talking about setting up, not for being focused on that end thing.
Yeah. And for me, which I've listened to a lot of Wizards of Waverly Pod.
Oh,
I do like the episodes. And earlier on, I don't know if you've shared this as often, but earlier on when you would talk about when you would go into auditions or when you have a table read, you would talk about how internally you would struggle with your dyslexia.
Oh, totally.
Because it's a huge, it's a huge burden to say the words right. And it's a tremendous embarrassment when you say them wrong.
Yeah.
And I remember you shared the story about your initial audition for it. And you had said the
cap.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of cape, you said cap or something, which is something that I would do all the time, David. I just want to let you know that it connected with me for you sharing that vulnerability in such an honest way, because I always suffer when it comes to reading out loud, which is probably why I like to improvise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't have to like read out loud or something, right?
Yeah.
But I struggle with the potential embarrassment of me saying a word that everyone else in the world knows should be said one way, but because I read it the wrong way, I assemble the sounds and the letters in a different combination. And then everyone's like, and in my mind, I'm like, he is so stupid. Like, I'm so hard on myself. And I connected with you on that, and I really appreciate you sharing
Ezra, thank you for saying that. And our words are very important. Like, what we say to ourselves, I think, manifests in that. And I appreciate you saying that and being vulnerable and giving us that. And I'm watching you on Instagram and your morning routine. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many marathons have you run?
It's between 46 and 49.
Crazy, and you're about to run everybody. Yeah. What is your Instagram?
It's my name. It's EZRAWEISZ, which is not an easy name, by the way. It's got two Z's in it. But you have name anxiety. Darren and I have to call out everyone's name on the microphone.
Oh, that's true.
And one of your creators and executive producers, whose first name is Todd, don't go any further. Mm-hmm. His first name is Todd. He was in he had his family
his come.
Whole family. Whole front family row. In the front row. They're all there. They're all very, to me, they felt very East Coast, and I related to that, right? Mm-hmm. I am Jewish, and I felt like they are Jewish as well, because I just picked up on some certain signals. And I'm like, okay, I know these people. They feel like family in a way.
Yeah.
And this was early, early on, like maybe our second or third night doing warm-up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that we're processing in our head, especially during curtain call. And curtain call, for those that don't know, it's the very last thing that we do on the microphone. We call out everybody in the cast. We start from the person who was the day player who just came in that day, and we work all the way up to who I think Selena's name was the last name to be called out as the star. But and then we have to mention who wrote the episode, who directed the episode.
That's a lot of names.
And then we do our executive producers. And Todd, his last name is Greenwald. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I'm ridiculously dyslexic at times, David, especially when I'm overwhelmed and overstimulated.
Sure, sure.
And now I have the pressure of this family is here, and his mom, who was a little bit aggressive with her words, was pulling on me. I'm yanking on Darren's shirt. Pulling on me like, are you going to say my son's name? Don't forget my son. Because I got up to Selena and the director, right? And then for David Dalloway, right? And then they're like, what about my son? I'm like, we're going to get, you'll see, see.
It's coming, coming.
I said, and let's hear it for Peter Marietta. And let's hear it for Todd Greenberg.
Oh, no.
Oh gosh.
She put you on a list.
I was sweating, embarrassed as can be. Sweating. I'm like, I don't deserve to be back here ever again.
I was talking him off the ledge after
we're
the
so
show.
Much harder
I was like,
on
I can't believe I said
ever, anybody else.
I know. I could read that it says Greenwald. But I'm like, I know his name. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it to his family and not look at my paper. I'm going to go, it's Todd Greenberg.
It's like a self-fulfilling really prophecy. Like, don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up. I mean, it's a scar, right? Because I had like so much. I raised the stakes on the entire experience and the job.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he's the executive producer.
And you know what's interesting about those kinds of-
He can fire me.
But those experiences where you make the mistake is where you learn that it is okay after.
Yeah, and you realize you it's not quite the monster under the bed you made
it out to be. I have done is I like obsess about the name. I say it in my head before I say it on the mic.
I did an episode of ER. I had to say Dr. Rozgotra. Okay.
Yeah. Now, bless you. God bless you.
It was a single. It was a long oner. It was a good 5-minute oner.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of it. And I went up like this. I was like, I'm not going to fuck this up.
Right.
And I went like this.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Dr. Rose Gotra. I just was like, say it. And then, because I watch it and I'm like, oh, I made sure that I said it right. Okay,
my pants are spitting. I gotta go piss. Come on.
I know.
Love you so much for coming in. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, your time, your lives with us. And we love you. And yeah, I mean, just, I can't tell you how much fun I just had.
Oh, good. Good.
The crazy thing is 15 plus however many years later, you guys are still bringing up the energy in the room. And hey!
Give it up for Jennifer and David. Yay! Yay! Everybody! Yay! Come on! Yay! 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 Waverly Pod!
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.